Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week.
Good morning. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me here today and asking me to give the message. I am deeply honored to do so. And for those of you online, I think I know everyone here in the building with us today in person, but for those of you online, my name's Andrea Williamson, and I am a deacon here at St. Andrew's, and I'm going to do my best to speak to you from my heart, and I've asked God to help speak through me, and so hopefully we'll have a great message today. So we're going to start with a story about an acrobat, a wheelbarrow, and a challenge of faith. So imagine a tightrope stretched over a quarter of a mile across Niagara Falls, okay? So just as an aside, I can imagine this quite vividly as I grew up in Canada about an hour from Niagara Falls, and I have fond memories of visiting the falls. My late father-in-law used to refer to Niagara Falls as the power. I mean, he would say it like that too, the power, right? So, I mean, it is a big deal. It is very powerful. So if you've not been there, just imagine the thundering sound of the pounding water drowning out all other sounds as you watch a man step onto a tightrope and walk across. So this stunning feat made Charles Blondin famous in the summer of 1859. He walked 160 feet above the falls several times back and forth between Canada and the United States, as huge crowds on both sides looked on with shock and awe. Once he crossed in a sack, I don't really know how he did that, but once on stilts, another time on a bicycle, and he even carried a stove up there and cooked an omelet. They even say he like lowered it down to the Maid of the Mist, which is the boat that carries tourists around the falls, under the falls. Anyway, so on July 15th of that same year, Blondin walked across the tightrope to Canada, returning, pushing a wheelbarrow. So the Blondin story is told that it was after pushing a wheelbarrow across while blindfolded that Blondin asked for some audience participation. So the crowds had watched, and they'd oohed, and they'd awed, and he had proven that he could do it. There was no doubt about that. But now he's asking for a volunteer to get into the wheelbarrow and take a ride across the falls with him. So it's said that he asked the audience, "Do you believe I can carry a person across this in a wheelbarrow?" And of course, the crowd's like, you know, they're into this. They're all about it. And they shouted, "Yes, we believe, yes." So then he poses the question, "Who will get into the wheelbarrow?" There's like silence, crickets, you know. No one, of course, no one did. No one did. So let's think of this. The story of Charles Blondin, it paints a real picture, a real life picture of what faith actually is. So the crowd had watched his daring feats, and they said they believed, but their actions proved that they truly didn't. So how does this apply to us? It's one thing for us to say we believe in God, but it's true Christian faith when we believe in God and put our trust in his Son, Jesus Christ. So let's read. In John 3:16, we read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." This is what we as Christians believe and what Christianity is based upon. God is love. God loves us so, so much, more than we can ever know, more than we can ever earn. There is nothing we can do to make God love us any more or any less. God's love is so strong and powerful that all we have to do is believe in him, truly believe in him to be in his grace. We are not perfect by any means, but God's love for us is. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 5. It reads, "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us." So let's explore what Paul writes in the first verse. "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So in his Handbook for Christian Living, Dr. Charles Stanley explains the meaning of justification as used in Romans 5:1. He explains, "The Greek verb tense used in this verse means a once and for all transaction. We have been justified, that is declared not guilty, like once and for all." God bless you. The word justify is not only a theological term, but is a judicial or legal term as well. As far back as the book of Genesis, the question was asked, "Shall not the judge of the earth deal justly?" If we accept the Lord Jesus Christ who died in our place, we are justified, at peace, spared from the penalty. So let's think about that. We have been declared not guilty once and for all, not because of our good works or deeds, but through our faith. We are at peace with God. We're not going to be judged by God. We are spared because Jesus died in our place. There are no obstacles in our relationship with God. I mean, this is amazing news. And again, it's the foundation of Christianity. So Paul continued to write that we have obtained access to God's grace through our Lord Jesus Christ, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. In other words, we hope that God is as great and awesome as he really seems to be. And we can relate to this hope, right? In sharing the glory of God. Who wouldn't want to share in God's glory, right? It's the next verses in chapter 5, Romans chapter 5, that need a little more analysis or investigation for us to relate to a little easier. So Paul writes, "And not only that, but let us also boast in our sufferings, knowing suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope." So Paul is encouraging us to boast in our sufferings, to speak with excessive pride and self-satisfaction about our sufferings. Who even does that? It's not something we typically do or would find impressive to hear someone else boast about their sufferings. When we talk about our sufferings, we most often do so in an attempt to get help or to find someone to console us, not to be proud of us about our sufferings. Now, COVID-19 has brought with it much suffering in the fear of getting sick, in the fear of getting others sick, possibly causing death, and also the mental, emotional suffering on so many levels. We are social beings, and lockdown, quarantine, isolation, social distancing, loss of work, etc., has caused deep suffering in the form of depression, anxiety, doubt, and despair. We stifle every cough and sneeze, even when we sneeze into our mask, right? With shame and fear of someone thinking we may have the coronavirus and spread it to them. We don't go around proclaiming how we're suffering with this ailment or that. And let's especially consider those suffering with mental health challenges. We tend to cover those types of sufferings up and definitely not boast about them. But Paul writes to boast about our sufferings. Now, this is really key. We need to get this part. Knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. So suffering produces endurance. Endurance is like passionate patience or perseverance or the ability to withstand hardship or adversity without giving way. Now, we live in a pretty immediate gratification society where patience, let alone perseverance, is not seen as often as we'd like, and something we practice, we may not practice as often as we should. If we consider our sufferings to be for a purpose in God's great design and recognize those sufferings to be producing endurance or patient perseverance in us, we can then further develop character from the endurance. And developing character is really about being moral and ethical. Or if we look at the Message translation of the Bible, it reads, "Patience forges the tempered steel of virtue." So then Paul continues to write, "Character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us." I mean, this is so amazing because our hope or alert expectancy doesn't leave us feeling disappointed or let down. Quite the opposite. We receive an abundance of God's love into our lives through the Holy Spirit, like buckets full. We can't even contain all of his love, right? And we feel that today. It's not even just the hope of what's to come, like eternal life. It's today. We feel this today. God is with us. He is present with us through the Holy Spirit in our lives. He's poured his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So let me confess something to you all. When I was preparing this message last week, I was suffering with a pretty intense migraine and was really tempted to feel sorry for myself and get down in the dumps because I've been suffering with health challenges for many, many years. And I think God may have used this most recent migraine to help me realize the true meaning of what he's trying to say to us in Romans chapter 5. I think maybe God spoke to me through this scripture and was with me while I suffered and produced endurance, which then produced character and in turn hope. Maybe I wouldn't have truly understood these Bible verses as well if I hadn't suffered with this migraine. It's just a thought. And in no way am I downplaying any suffering that anyone experiences or insinuating that it's easy to turn suffering into hope. Suffering is very real and can be extremely challenging, especially when relying on our own power to get through it. God did not design suffering to separate us from him, but to draw us closer to him. May we be encouraged by the presence of the Holy Spirit and embrace the transition that takes place when we suffer and can be patient to endure or persevere through our suffering, building that virtue and eager anticipation or hope to share in God's glory, all the while knowing God is with us throughout the suffering as he's poured out his love for us through the Holy Spirit. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8, we read, "But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation." So hope, what we're working toward here through our suffering, is a helmet to protect us, especially our minds, where we can be most vulnerable to dangerous thoughts of doubt and despair. We need this hope in our salvation more than ever now during these trying times. That started out as 2 weeks of staying at home so our hospitals could prepare, which has now continued to over 7 months of social distancing. Now we need to backtrack and talk about faith again for a second, because hope and faith go together. Hope is deeply rooted in faith. And let's remember that justification, or being spared once and for all through our faith, not good deeds or works, but through our faith, is how we are saved. We have the choice to choose faith and truly believe in God's promise of salvation. Do we have true faith in God's promise? Not just saying we believe like the people watching the tightrope walker, but true faith in his promise of salvation. God loves each of us so deeply and unconditionally that he gave us his one and only son to save us. Let's remember this and deepen our faith in God so that we may feel his presence in our lives. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to empower us to perform hope. We have the power to choose to truly believe in his promise of salvation and turn our sufferings into hope. So I ask you today, can we use hope to move us to action by giving, loving, and serving more? By listening more deeply to God's word and letting it change us? By growing in faith and relationship with God? By sharing the word with others? Can the excitement of this justification bring us hope? Let us pray. Lord, we ask that you help us to seek you in our despair and feel your presence in our lives and have true faith in your amazing power so we can hope in your promise of salvation. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you.